Next case is 99-1879, Emerson Electric Company and subsidiaries versus Robert Tracy Tax Commission.
Is it Mr. Whipple?
I would think so. Bill Whipple. What else could it be? All right. I'm in charge.
Yes, Moyer. I should start out by saying it's somewhat ironic that I appear here today opposing my worthy opponent, Mr. Barron, although we've had a lot of professional encounters. Our last argument before this court was 12 years ago, and Justice Moyer and Justice Douglas may recall that involved commerce law. So perhaps it would be well to start out by indicating the significant differences between that case and what we have before us today. As the justices may recall, that was a case where the state of Ohio would only provide a tax credit to ethanol producers in Ohio if the state in which they were domesticated also provided credits to Ohio. So
that case went to the U.S. Supreme Court too, didn't it?
There was logical justification in that case, and I think when you look at the disparate treatment between the foreign subsidiary not doing business in Ohio and the domestic subsidiary not doing business in Ohio, to find no logical justification, it really doesn't make a lot of sense for the rather obvious disparate treatment that exists in this particular case. And I think what we have before us is a classic almost textbook case of common cause discrimination. Another major difference, and I think it's very controlling in this particular case, in here we have a corporate franchise tax provision that was enacted prior to the controlling case of the United States Supreme Court's Kraft Foods case. So when Ohio adopted the particular provision that's in question here, the Supreme Court had not ruled in the Kraft case, and that was in the 1992 case. In the Kraft case, the court used as a typical example, an example that would apply on all fours in Ohio, just as it did in Kraft. And basically it said, let's take a situation where we have an Iowa parent with two subsidiaries. Here we have any more. One subsidiary doing business in Kentucky, one in Germany. Neither subsidiary does business in Iowa. Both subsidiaries pay dividends to the Iowa parent. Iowa tax dividends received from the foreign subsidiary did not tax the dividends from the Kentucky subsidiary. And the Supreme Court of the United States held that was indeed an undue burden on foreign commerce and struck down the legislation. The force and impact of the Ohio provision in question is exactly the same, regardless of what is suggested in my worthy opponent's briefing, is exactly the same as the Iowa situation. The record evidence in this particular case, Your Honors, reflects that there are many more now, but at the time of the hearing, Emerson Electric had approximately 200 foreign subsidiaries, none doing business in Ohio. It had approximately 90 domestic subsidiaries that are organized in other states than Ohio, and 20 of those 90 were doing business in Ohio. But it had 70 subsidiaries domesticated outside of Ohio, not doing business in Ohio, 200 foreign subsidiaries. And just like in the Iowa case, dividends paid by the foreign subsidiaries to any parent in Ohio were taxed, are taxed. Dividends from the domestic subsidiaries from other states not doing business in Ohio are not taxed. And as you know, the taxes with respect to non-foreign domestic out-of-state subsidiaries not doing business in the state of Ohio. And the real crux of this case, when you look at the foreign commerce clause case, is to say, well, Emerson Electric, how do you avoid something like this? And there's one easy way to do it, and that would eliminate the disparate treatment. You would take 200 foreign subsidiaries, domesticate them in some state in the United States, organize them in California or some other, let's go pick California because of all the tax problems they have, but domesticate them in some other state, and all of a sudden, their dividends flowing to any Ohio parent would no longer be taxed because now they are a domestic and a non-foreign subsidiary. Basically the Kraft case in spades ruled on that particular question. They likewise noted that the parent corporations could avoid the tax on the dividends flowing into the state by re-domesticating the foreign into the United States and said that was a classic example of an undue burden on foreign commerce.
Is 573304I2 facially unconstitutional?
Your Honor, in our opinion, it is facially unconstitutional. We are not aware, when you consider Ohio laws, that there are any circumstances under which it could be held constitutional.
So it's just bad from the start?
Yes, and in all fairness to the state, it did not have the Kraft case.
Okay.
It teach it when it enacted that.
That's the reason I asked that, because isn't the Kraft case maybe not exactly like this case because the Iowa taxing structure is different than ours?
Justice Douglas, that's precisely the argument made by Mr. Herron, and I think he did a very effective job of trying to obscure the disparate nature here by getting into the details of various taxing methods. Actually, no. Our opposition points out that Ohio is a combined taxing state, and that is very deceptive. Ohio only taxes under the corporate franchise tax corporate entities doing business in Ohio. It is not a combined taxing state to the extent that when you use that term, you talk about unitary taxing states that tax every subsidiary throughout the United States, the water's edge, everybody within the water's edge of this nation, they tax. But in order to avoid the due process problem without having minimum contacts, they then apportion the tax based upon property, payroll, and sales. But that is not the way Ohio taxes. If Ohio taxed every single, let's say the 70 Emerson subsidiaries outside of Ohio, if it attempted to tax every subsidiary of every corporation, regardless of where located, then it would be closer to the four cases. And there are four cases that looked at this same situation and found no violation. That would have been Kansas, Minnesota, Maine, and Illinois. Because in each of those four cases, the state taxing program taxed the domestic corporation, regardless of where located, regardless of where it did business, and then reapportioned. And then they said, in that case, you have an equivalence. We tax the income, so we won't tax their dividends. Ohio, precisely the same in terms of its taxing structure as Iowa, Maine, and Rhode Island, and those are the three state Supreme Courts where it has been held violates the Foreign Commerce Clause. In Ohio, only 20 of the subsidiaries file tax returns in Ohio because they were doing business in Ohio. And then you have an election. I think approximately 5 of the 20 filed individual tax returns,
mm-hmm.
and 15 filed a consolidated type return. 15 individual returns, and they consolidated the tax in some reform for tax purposes. But Ohio is not a unitary combined taxing state that taxes all subsidiaries throughout the United States.
But we don't include in Ohio, in our franchise tax net income determination, foreign dividends from foreign subsidiaries, do we?
That is correct.
But they did in Kraft, didn't they, in Iowa?
It is a fact that what we do is take 15% of the foreign subsidiaries and tax that.
Mm-hmm.
But as to the domestic subsidiaries that are precisely that neither one of them do business in Ohio,
I know.
They don't impose the 15% on the domestic subsidiaries. So that's where the undue burden is in spades. The disparate treatment between the foreign subsidiary and the domestic subsidiary, and quite frankly, in order to clearly understand the disparate treatment in this case, one has to understand how the tax is imposed in Ohio, and that's why our learned opponents did a good job of trying to obscure the disparity by comparing us to other states when our tax program is 100% different from those states.
There have to be a lot of corporations, a number of corporations likely situated with yours. Why is it taking so long for this to come?
Well, this was refund for the years 1991 and 1992.
No, but I mean even before that, the issue itself, not the specific one, not how long
it took. I believe the Kraft case brought in spades. I think there have been 8 cases already following the Kraft case when the United States Supreme Court declared that this was an undue burden on foreign commerce. And so
that was the impetus for bringing it, the Kraft case from the U.S. Supreme Court.
That is correct, Your Honor. And I think that's why the Board of Tax Appeals, just as it should have in this case, heard the facts, presents the facts to this court and recited that properly so that it could not decide the constitutional question. And that's why that particular question is before this court. And I think that the most important thing that I think we can might point out, and I'll save my time for rebuttal, if you'll note at page 7 of our opponent's brief, here's what they say, and this is the exact crux of the case. Thus, while the dividends of domestic subsidiaries are not taxed by Ohio, the apportioned income of those subsidiaries is subject to tax by Ohio. That is absolutely dead wrong insofar as it relates to domestic subsidiaries not doing business in Ohio, which would be most of the subsidiaries. So there are really 3 classes here of corporate entities.
Yeah, that's really your complaint.
That's exactly it.
That's what.
So that is, it isn't, in effect, it's not a false statement, and certainly, well, I'm sure it wasn't intentionally false. But if they said, thus while the dividends of domestic subsidiaries are not taxed by Ohio, the apportioned income of Ohio subsidiaries doing business in Ohio is subject to tax by Ohio. But it is absolutely clear beyond travail that domestic subsidiaries not doing business in Ohio are not taxed in Ohio. And that is really the crux to show the difference. There's 3 classes. We've got the foreign subsidiary not doing business in Ohio. We have corporations doing business in Ohio. And we have subsidiaries that are domesticated, not foreign, not doing business in Ohio. And the disparate treatment is between the foreign subsidiary and the other subsidiary not doing business in the state of Ohio. Could I reserve the remaining time for rebuttal?
Yes. Thank you, Your Honor. Mr. Perry.
Mr. Chief Justice, the provision that is under attack in this case has been in the Ohio franchise tax law since 1971, at the time the net income base was added to the franchise tax. In 1979, this court in the Westinghouse versus Lindley case upheld what the tax commissioner, or how the tax commissioner applied to this law. Westinghouse held that the deduction for foreign source income was restricted to net foreign source income. The reason for that is that the only thing included in the tax base, the net income tax base, was federal taxable income, against which all expenses for all income, including foreign source income, was already included in the calculation.
And would the Kraft decision have affected how this court ruled in that case?
Westinghouse did not involve a constitutional challenge.
At all.
It involved a construction challenge. However, it may be notable that since Kraft, since all the states virtually still have provisions similar to Ohio's, Congress has enacted. There's been no outcry of retaliation by foreign countries, and this is the first time they're doing a challenge to the Ohio statute.
Could you go, Mr. Farron, really to the the last issue that was discussed, but the issue of the disparity between the, since there's three classes, do you go along with that analysis?
I fully disagree with that. That's simply a wrong statement of Ohio franchise tax.
Okay.
Let's look at what the disparity is, and admittedly there is a slight disparity in the Ohio franchise tax treatment of dividends from foreign subsidiary corporations, and dividends from domestic subsidiary corporations. For dividends from foreign subsidiary corporations, the net amount, full amount of that dividend included in the tax base and net income is removed. However, with respect to domestic dividends, there is no offset against the gross amount, so there is no net in that.
Isn't there a disparity between domestic subsidiaries doing business in Ohio and not doing business?
Not from the standpoint of combined.
The combined, that's where, okay.
What Emerson is reflecting on is the elective portion of the combined reporting statute device code section 5733.052. In B, a corporation can elect without approval commission from the commissioner to file a combined return. In that instance, it can only file a combination with other corporations that have the requisite, over which it has the requisite control, and which are also taxpayers in Ohio, that is, they're doing business in Ohio. However, what Emerson ignores is that in 5733.052A, the commissioner has the authority to permit or require combined reporting by any corporation over which the parent has a controlling interest. It doesn't matter whether or not those corporations are doing business within the state of Ohio. So that's simply wrong. Ohio's combined reporting provision does allow the commissioner to require an inclusion in the combination of corporations, controlled corporations, which do not themselves do business in the state of Ohio.
Mr. Perrin, do you have your brief there? I had a little trouble understanding the first paragraph on page 7, and I wonder if maybe we could go through it. The Iowa tax scheme at issue in Kraft was fundamentally different from Ohio's. Iowa did not allow any deduction for dividends received from foreign subsidiaries. That then would make it suspect, is that right?
That's correct.
That's why Kraft. Let's go to the next sentence in a minute, and then I'll give you a chance. Ohio allows a deduction for 100% of net dividends from foreign subsidiaries. If we did, what's their argument?
Their argument is that with respect to domestic dividends,
yes,
Ohio doesn't offset the gross amount of such dividends with related expenses, where under 04I2, with respect to foreign dividends, the Ohio tax structure does offset those dividends by related expenses.
And their argument is that should be equal. Their argument is that it should be equal.
Focusing solely on that isolated provision of the franchise tax structure, they argue that because that treatment is not identical, that it violates the foreign commerce clause.
What if we changed our tax code to make it 85% of domestic dividends?
Well, again, I think you have to look at it. It's not 85, it's 100% of the dividends are excluded. Under Ohio's tax structure, clearly, no foreign source dividends are included within the net income base.
Mm-hmm.
Ohio could have offset domestic dividends with related expenses as well.
Then
they simply didn't do so, and I assume, while this was done back in 71, that the reason for it was that the two provisions are addressing different concerns. The domestic dividend deduction provision is addressing the concern of double taxation.
Yeah.
The domestic corporation's earnings have been taxed in either Ohio or in some other state. As a result, Ohio, like most states, says, well, we're not going to also tax the dividends which come out of those very same earnings. So they have that entire exclusion for the domestic dividends from a corporation.
Yeah, I see where you're going, but the next step is then you have to make the assumption that the foreign dividends are not also taxed by that foreign entity.
Well, that's a national level. Ohio is at a subnational level. What actually was, I believe, the concern that led to the foreign source deduction was the concern over, at the time in 1971, the ability of the states to tax any income from a corporation. That's reflected by the fact that, as I point out in the brief, and as I think it's an important fact in this case, with respect to foreign source income, the deduction is much broader than the deduction allows for domestic source income.
Not that it should or will make any difference, but would this have a major economic impact?
I'm not certain that it would have a major economic impact. I'm sure it would be in millions or tens of millions of dollars, but it's not something that would work down.
Not talking about real money, just tens of millions of dollars.
Although, frankly, I've not researched that specific aspect of it. What we have to look at, and what Emerson has studiously attempted to ignore in this case, is that we have to look at the entire tax structure of the franchise tax as it applies to domestic foreign income, included within the net income base. The question is whether Ohio's tax structure, taken as a whole, with respect to such income, domestic and foreign income, favors business done in the United States generally over business conducted abroad. That is the specific test that has been applied. In making that inquiry, you have to look at the entire tax structure. This court in NACO Industries, the United States Supreme Court in numerous cases, including Washington versus United States, and even in Kraft itself, pointed out that it's improper to focus solely on a specific provision in isolation. You have to look at the entire tax structure. But that's precisely what Emerson has done. They worked solely on this disparity of treatment of dividends from domestic as opposed to foreign sources. It ignores three critical provisions in Ohio franchise tax structure that show that this case of Ohio's tax is completely distinguishable from the tax in issue in Kraft. The first is, as Justice Douglas, I think, alluded to in referring to our brief, in Kraft, the Iowa system included all foreign source dividends. It excluded all domestic dividends. That difference alone is dramatic. Ohio does allow a deduction for all net dividends from foreign sources. To the extent that that dividend income is included in the net income base, it is totally pulled out by the deduction. I've gone into the combined reporting difference for your issue in response to Justice Cook's question. Iowa clearly, as the court pointed out, was a single entity reporting state. Under that system, a domestic corporation doing business in another state, but which did not do business in Iowa, would never be included within any return or report filed in Iowa. The income from such a corporation would never be taxed or included in any tax base in Iowa. The contrary is true with respect to Ohio's system. As I pointed out, Ohio does have a combined reporting system which includes corporations that do not do business in Ohio. They can include any corporation as long as the rate, the nexus issues, the unitary issues are met.
And so at the end of the day, it must have been filing tax returns. Is it true or is it not true that there's a 15% penalty on foreign subsidiaries?
Just by at the end of the day, I submit that income from foreign subsidiaries and foreign sources are favored, not disfavored, over activities that are conducted in the United States when you look at the entire tax structure.
Quantify that. How much of it?
First of all, under the combined reporting system, income from a domestic subsidiary not doing business in Ohio is going to be subject to tax on an apportioned basis in Ohio, included in the combination. Income from a foreign subsidiary will not be. Therefore, the only income that's considered, that is included, that could be included from a foreign source, from dividends, from a foreign subsidiary are dividends. And again, as I point out, we don't even consider anything other than that offset. Those dividends are paid out of appropriated earnings and profits. So if anything, by taxing total net income of a corporation, a domestic corporation, we're going to be taxing more than if we just taxed the dividends, because the dividends are paid out of us, generally don't add up to the total amount of the net income of a domestic corporation. But perhaps even more importantly, if you look at the other provisions of 04I2, the foreign source income deduction is much broader than just a deduction for dividends from foreign subsidiary corporations. A deduction is also provided for other types of income from foreign sources. And in fact, it's not even limited to income from foreign subsidiaries, it's from any foreign source. Royalties, income from technical and other types of services are fully deducted if they're from a foreign source. On the other hand, such income received from a domestic source or a domestic subsidiary is not deducted. It's included in the in that income tax base. If you look at the franchise tax reports filed by Emerson and its subsidiary corporations in Ohio, and I've outlined them or identified them in page 2413, they had large amounts of royalty and other types of income from foreign sources that they deducted. On balance, if you compare the rest of what's deducted with respect to foreign source income with that small disparity, that 15% offset for expenses that favors domestic subsidiaries, on balance, there's no question that the tax structure as a whole favors business done abroad over business done in the United States, and that's the test.
If you plus off 15% like that, not the, I mean, that 15% is...
But again, I think we have...
15% return, for example, investment would be a fair investment.
Well, it's 15%. There's simply not an offset for the expenses related. And 15%, we're just talking about 15% in the base, not 15% tax. It's 15% of the total gross dividends are deemed to be expenses to generate those dividends. That 15% will be removed from the deduction from the net income base. But on balance, that cannot possibly make up for the fact that under the combined reporting system, Ohio will be picking up the net income from those domestic corporations, and the fact that those domestic corporations are not entitled to the deduction, to all the deductions that foreign source income is entitled to, the deductions for royalties, for other types and service fees. I would point out that Emerson is simply wrong by saying that those wouldn't be included in Ohio anyway if they don't have a connection with Ohio. Clearly, royalties other than patent and copyright royalties are a portion of income. This court held in the Holligan's case. And as the mobile oil case, the U.S. Supreme Court said, the state can include royalties and other similar income from out-of-state corporations. On balance, given all of the favorable treatment with respect to domestic or to foreign source income, I don't think a case can be made that the Ohio tax structure taken as a whole favors domestic business generally over foreign business. Because it does not drive the commerce of the
rest. Thank you, Mr. Barron. Mr. Young, you saved a little over 2 minutes of your time.
Your Honor, the reason I say
individual areas in the
respect, Mr. Barron, I know he would not have mentioned this or represent anything to the court. He's absolutely wrong in trying to compare a subsidiary to a subsidiary doing business in Ohio, and I'll tell you why. First of all, with respect to the argument you made in response to the question from Justice Feinberg, the domestic out-of-state corporations, royalties paid to Ohio corporations are not taxed in Ohio. Why aren't they taxed in Ohio? It's not a question of apportionment, it's allocation. And if you study the allocation statutes, royalties are allocated to the source where they were owed. So if it's a Pennsylvania corporation owing royalties to an Ohio corporation, that income is allocated back to Pennsylvania rather than to Ohio, and therefore neither the foreign subsidiary nor the out-of-state subsidiary not doing business in Ohio pays tax, their royalties are taxed in Ohio, neither one. So I'm sure Mr. Barron thinks that's the case, but it is absolutely 100% not taxed in Ohio. It's allocated back to the other state.
You have, Mr. Young, you in your reply brief, you've responded to Mr. Barron's suggestion that if we look at the entire tax systems, that actually the foreign subsidiaries are treated at least as well as the domestic, if not better. I'd like to hear your strong argument.
There absolutely is no favoring of an out-of-state domestic corporation not doing business in Ohio. And the reason it isn't favored is, the reason the foreign domestic subsidiary is favored is because you take the two, the domestic out-of-state not doing business in Ohio. It pays no tax in Ohio, just like the foreign. Now, what Mr. Barron is suggesting is that out-of-state domestic corporation really is better off because, or is worse off because its income is taxed in Ohio. He's dead wrong. You just look in this case. There are 70 subsidiaries doing business outside of Ohio paying no tax in Ohio. And their dividends when they pay into Ohio are excluded. Take the foreign subsidiary not doing business in Ohio. Its income is not taxed in Ohio, but when it pays dividends to Ohio, those dividends are taxed. His assumption that the domestic subsidiaries are better off is based only on one erroneous statement. That is that they are taxed in Ohio, their income. And if you look at the definition of a taxpayer in Ohio, it includes someone who's licensed to do business in state or uses capital or property to earn income in the state. Well, the thing that Mr. Barron doesn't point out, he keeps saying subject to tax, but they aren't taxed. The Ohio does not tax any major corporation for its out-of-state subsidiaries not doing business in Ohio. Now, Mr. Barron says, well, maybe they could or they might do it, but they don't do it. And we believe they constitutionally, under the Ohio statutes, could not do it. So we aren't talking about hypotheticals. Foreign subsidiaries receive no benefits that out-of-state domestic subsidiaries receive. And the reason he makes that argument is a false assumption that out-of-state subsidiaries' income is taxed in Ohio, even though they aren't doing business in Ohio. It is also incorrect with respect to the subject of royalties. This, the same arguments were made in the Iowa case. These same arguments were made in all three cases where the taxation was set aside in Rhode Island and Maine. And if you read the cases where it wasn't set aside, they make the same distinction I'm making, the exact same distinction, when they compare the out-of-state subsidiaries not doing business in the state with the foreign subsidiaries not doing business in the state. The only tax difference from Ohio is that Ohio taxes 15% of the foreign dividends. That's the only difference, and therefore the foreign subsidiaries receive no favor treatment. That's just, I know Mr. Barron believes it to be so, but I think it's a question of going over the tax returns. And if you look at the tax returns that were filed in this case, you will find that the 70 out-of-state subsidiaries were not taxed.
Thank you, Mr. Young.
Thank you.
The case is submitted. You'll be advised of our opinion.